Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I'm Dr. Debbie Lyons, and I am very excited to be here today with Jeff Weiss. Thank you so much for joining us. A Toronto native, correct?
Yes, a Toronto native, and I am in my native homeland right now.
Which is kind of wonderful. Are you enjoying it?
Except my family is in Massachusetts, so I'm here on my own right now.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you today, and it's been interesting. You and I had the opportunity to chat once before and really enjoyed it, and I think everyone will really be interested in what we're going to talk about today, and that's really the aging adult and things that we can learn when it comes to shopping and products and things like that. So I'm really excited to have you here today. Talk to me a little bit, if you will, Jeff, about your background and history, because you have quite an interesting past.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Thank you. It's great to be here with you, and thanks for inviting me to join you. I'll start with my age. Most people don't do that. I'm 56 years old, which in my terms makes me an active aging consumer, which I'll talk about more. Mm-hmm. I'll just start with my career. I won't bore you with my family details and growing up, but I've spent pretty well all of my career in the marketing/business arena. Up until mm-hmm. a few years ago, half of my career, even less so now, is on the client side of things. So working for brands and companies and marketing their products and services, excuse me. And then, for the past 21 years, I've been running a marketing communications and PR industry for that time, and then started our new business, which you're here to talk about today, called Age of Majority, about 2.5 years ago.
What's really interesting to me about Age of Majority is when you and I talk, I'm 66, I still feel as though I'm a young adult. To be honest with you, or let me just say this, I feel like I'm an adult. I don't really categorize myself now I work with, preteen, adolescents, young adults, millennials, baby boomers. There's all of these labels, but I guess find that those labels are less qualifying now as what I think they used to be. Has that been your experience, right?
Absolutely. And I know there's been a bunch of research done, and we did some a while ago as well. And most people, as they get older, think they're about 15 years or so younger. They feel 15 or so mm-hmm. years younger than they actually are, which mm-hmm. is interesting. And that, I think that's been around for a while, and that's only increasing in terms of age. But yeah, labeling is a very dangerous thing. And we consciously, when we launched, we stayed away from using the word and the term boomer. I'm the last of the baby boomers. The problem is that, same with millennials, Gen X and boomers. The oldest boomer, I think, is about 18 years older than me, something in that range. So that individual could actually be my mother or father. My son is 23. He's the youngest of millennials. And again, the age range that the highest is, it could be, his parent. So trying to put people in buckets like that, presumably talking about boomers, it's not realistic because there's so many differences in boomers. There are millions of boomers. And the other thing is that when you talk about particularly marketing, if you're just lumping people in boomers, as we, me included, get older, then eventually over time you're gonna die off and there's no boomers left. So from a marketing point of view, it's kind of a weird thing if you think about it that way.
Can I ask you just a really basic question? What is marketing actually considered? I think a lot of us have a real skewed idea. I think there's advertising, I guess there's buying, there's selling. What is the actual marketing piece of business?
Man, I should have studied my Marketing 101 book. To me, it's really taking your brand, your product and service, and targeting a specific type of consumer group, engaging them, and then ideally getting them to buy the product. So a lot of people will say, oh, you know, marketing, advertising, it's the same thing. It's not. Advertising is one very specific tactic or way to reach people, but there are so many other ways that people are marketed to and engaged that advertising. Uh-huh. I'll give you an example. You know, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, huge brand, never does any advertising. Starbucks never, till fairly recently, did any advertising. And they built these huge successful brands and businesses without any advertising through, you know, word of mouth, PR, things like that. But marketing in its base form is really, here's my product or service. Here's who I'm targeting. I know I'm competing against these people. Here's what makes my brand different than yours. And here's why you should buy it. Getting you to buy it.
Talk to me, if you will, about the age of majority. First of all, I love the name. And I guess I'm trying to understand age of majority meaning what?
The majority of people who control the wealth and spending in not only in America and the world, right? And it's, you know, it was, you know, follow the money, and we follow the money, and that's where it is. So, you know, the data in terms of where the money is, you know, it's been out there for a long time. It's even more skewed now, but most marketers and businesses have ignored them. So, when, you know, we talk about age of majority in the name, it's, you know, it's where the majority of the money is, and no one really focuses on it. And that's why we see the opportunity there.
Why the disconnect? Help me understand how that shifted, if you will, or how a lot of marketers, advertisers, or even businesses for that matter are missing the point. Are we just used to advertising to younger people because that's where we think the population is?
That's a great question. You know, and just to go back and kind of my interest, I went back and did my MBA a long time ago, 1991. I had to do a research paper. And funny enough, I've got to go find it. I think I still have it. It was on the opportunity to market to seniors. That was back in 1991. So the opportunity has been there a long time. The consumers we have now that we call active ages, very different. We've never seen a group of consumers like this. And again, we'll get back to that. But, you know, as a marketer when I was on the brand side of things, you know, in my 20 plus years of doing that, never ever did I, you know, kind of receive a brief or do any research or do any advertising, anything, or buy any media that was focused on anyone over the age of 55. It just, you didn't think about that. It didn't exist.
You knew it. Right.
Largely ignored. So for us going into this, you know, with the numbers there, we saw what, you know, who's got the money, where the spending is. But the question we had to answer was, why aren't marketers going after this group? So we did some research before we launched, because that was really a big question for us, amongst over 200 marketers throughout the US in all different categories. Okay. And we asked them a bunch of questions. So the first one, and I'll test you on this, is we asked them,
Lord.
We asked them, if you think about millennials, Gen Xers, and boomers, and you think about all consumer spending, what percentage of spending do millennials represent? What would you guess the number is?
30%.
Marketers across the board on average thought that millennials, or think the millennials account for
70. I bet they thought it was more.
No, okay. It wasn't that high. 39% of all consumer spending, that's what they thought millennials account for. Do you know what they actually account for, millennials? 18%. Less than 20%, less than one out of every $5 is spent by millennials. So you've got a group of marketers who should know better. This is basic business stuff, who think that the younger generation is spending a lot more money than they do. And having a 23-year-old boy who's got, you know, a good job and making good money, he doesn't have a lot of money, you know, after rent to spend on things. Right. So, you know, if you look at, you know, look around some restaurants, going out to restaurants, bars, entertainment, things like that, and clothing. But other than that, they're not spending a lot of money. But marketers think that's where the money is. So that's number one. And they also tied to that, they think, okay, if I get someone young now, I can get them for life and think about how much money they're worth to me, which to me is sounds great, but it's garbage because consumers now are more finicky than ever. When you look at the top brands now versus 10 years ago, there's been huge changes, right? So people are looking for the next best thing and trying to get someone young, not going to happen. And now I think everyone's talking about Generation Z. And it's like, are you kidding me? You know, the millennials don't have money. This group doesn't, but let's go after them. We're going to get them early. So the first reason is that marketers think millennials have more money than they do. The second reason that we found is that most marketers are young, right?
Okay, that's, I think that's fair.
There's less than, of the numbers I've seen, are 6 or 7% of marketers, particularly on the agency side, are over the age of 50. And that's it. Right. So most marketers are under the age of 40. And you talk to people in their late 30s now, particularly in technology and in advertising, two industries that really have a lot of ageism. You don't want to be, it's like it's a young person's game, and that's what they think. So you've got young marketers who don't really know any better. They have very little connection in terms of the realities of older consumers. They don't think. They don't think the older consumers have money, and they don't think that older consumers are hip. They're not into technology. They're not cool. And as a young marketer, I just want to do hip and cool stuff, which means I got to only do digital, and that's what I'm going to focus on. So that's the second. Go ahead.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. We've already gotten our first session underway here. So let's go ahead and break and come back. Again, we're here with Jeffrey Wiesen. We're talking about the age of majority is what we're talking about. How we as senior consumers or aging adult consumers are hip cool. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here with Jeff Wiesen, and we're talking about the age of majority. We're talking about marketing. We're talking about some reasons that people who are adults are being missed in the market, and it's really interesting. You've shared with us a couple of reasons you think why marketers are missing the boat, and we ended it last segment with hip and cool. But Jeff, looking at us right now, we're pretty hip and cool. So there's a third reason you think that this is happening.
Yeah, and this is the big reason, and the reason, and it's really about ageism in society. You know, we talk about all the prejudices in society. We talk about racism, sexism. There's all this talk about, you know, religion, diversity, inclusion, but rarely do you hear age and ageism coming into it. And to me, ageism is the biggest prejudice that we face, probably globally, and a lot of it is kind of self-induced. So, I think there are so many myths, stereotypes, and stigmas that are associated with older people that really gets in the way of marketers and businesses of wanting to, of seeing the opportunity and even wanting to look at the opportunity, let alone kind of act on it. So I believe in something called FOMO, which you probably think is fear of missing out, which to me is being older.
Fear. So
times where, you know, we go through, and I said before, the data is all there. The numbers are there into who's got their numbers. We can look by categories, you know, who do you think is buying cars and luxury cars and things like that, right? It's not the younger people, it's the older people. And it's like, oh yeah, I get it and blah, blah, blah. And then it's okay. You're ready to go. You're ready to do some marketing to this older active group that has the money. And they're like, oh, I don't know. And for me, FOMO sets in, fear of marketing older. And I'm not a psychologist. Yeah. I didn't even take
I love this.
This is your area of expertise more than mine. But I firmly, and I think the research is there to support that people fear getting older more than they fear dying. And it's like going to the doctor, in that a lot of people don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want to know if something's wrong with them, right? And for me, marketers, a lot of them don't even want to, particularly younger ones, don't even want to talk about marketing to older people because then they have to reflect on themselves and think, oh my goodness, I'm going to get old. And then all these myths and stereotypes come into play, and they don't even want to go there. So there's a lot of internalization coming. and forth. So that to me is a big reason. And you know, we've come up, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I the whole time that you're sharing this point of view, which I think is really an accurate one, I can feel myself at 66 almost becoming defensive, wanting to counter everything with what you're saying. And how do we destigmatize this FOMO? How do we, I mean, I guess the only way that we can do it is I look at a lot of things that you're doing in marketing, and we'll talk about Revolution 55 in a few minutes, asking the hard questions. And I guess my big fear is, how do we not silo ourselves? How do we recognize that we really are age integrated? I like to paddleboard just as much as my 40-year-old son, his 16-year-old son, and my daughter's 10-year-old daughter. So, I mean, I think it runs the gamut. How do we destigmatize all this?
Well, you know, that's a big societal question. And you know, Jeff Weiss here in Age of Majority, we aren't trying to solve all those things. You know, The reason that we started our mission is to really break the myths, stigmas, stereotypes with aging. And so that's like the big thing. But what we're trying to do, our little part of that, is to try to get marketers to identify and then exploit opportunities with active aging consumers. So we're trying to do it by having marketers and brands, you know, talk to active agers, like don't ignore us. And then when you do engage, you market to us, do it in a way that's appropriate and not based on stereotypes and stigmas. So one of the things we've done is we've come up, we call the Dirty Dozen Myths of Aging. And we go through each of those. And these are like societal myths. And I can give you a couple examples. And we go through.
Yeah, please.
And here's why it doesn't exist. So, you know, one of them, we talk about technology. There's this myth that older people are technologically challenged and averse. And that is simply not true. You know, active agers might not be the earliest of adopters when it comes to technology. But when you look at growth in both hardware and software and apps, that's exactly where it's being driven. We're seeing this even more now with quarantining going on. There was a report last week in terms of PayPal It's all coming from older consumers, right? If you look at online delivery, you look at different apps, you look at Zoom as an example, FaceTime, all of that. Mm-hmm. You look at smart speakers. All that growth is coming from people. Yet the myth is, oh no, they're not even online. Why am I going to bother targeting them? Right?
Shit, I can Instacart.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Banking online, which is a huge thing for older consumers, right? Mm-hmm. And now, you know, we're starting to see some good stuff in terms of making it easy for people to go online and how to sign up. So that's the kind of stuff where there's opportunities for banks, financial institutions to get involved. One of them being that, you know, if you remember the old ad, I fall and I can't get up, right? So this belief that older people are frail, you know, they're weak, they're immobile. And, you know, you talked about paddleboarding at 66, right? Mm-hmm. I play a lot of tennis. I play with a guy who's 96 years old, right? And he is in the U.S. Over 90 champ several times now. And it's funny because he tells me it used to be where he would just show up and no one else would be there, so he would win automatically. He was just joking. And then he said, you know, then other teams would sign up, and then, you know, a couple of them would forget to come because they were old. But now I think last time he played, I think there were five or six different teams playing. So I play with this guy, and sure, he can't move the way that he used to be able to move. But, man, when he can get to a ball, it's unbelievable what he can do, mm-hmm. right? So it's
a little finesse.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Probably a little finesse, right?
You know, as we get older, generally the aches and pains, the joints, the muscles hurt more, but now we're more aware of that, so we try to do things so that we're in better, you know, physical health, and then we do things after in terms of, you know, being able to recover easier. And then the final one, or another one, is that, you know, the belief is that, you know, people think, oh, people always want to look and be as young as they can. And sure, there are people that are still like that. But what we're finding out is a real switch in that people, older active consumers, it's, you know what, it doesn't matter what age you are. You want to look, feel, and be the best that you can be no matter what
you're. That's right.
That doesn't mean that you try to look younger, as an example, and dress
correct.
Younger. It means that you try to dress so you look and feel the best that you can be, right? And same with physical appearance and things like that. And then tied to that is that, you know, people think, oh, everyone aspires to be younger. The reality is that people are happier as they get older, the U-curve of happiness, right? I think people are sad.
Yes, very much so.
If I'm not mistaken, when they're 47, right?
That's exactly right.
But people, you know, when they're really young and naive, they're really happy. Or as they get older, they're happy. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. But this belief that, oh, you know, people are depressed and they want to, you know, they want to try to be as young as they can for as long as they can. We're starting to see kind of reverse aspirations. So, and we've done some research in this in different categories and products. So, you know, we're seeing certain categories like supplements and things like that, where highest appeal is with, particularly in this case, women 45 years old, who are looking at their future 30, 40 years down the road, and they have to decide what kind of future they're going to try to have. So they look, one path is they look at their parents, grandparents, friends, whatever, who are older, who are active, living this great life, enjoying life, loving life. Or they look at the group we call traditionalists. They're only about a quarter of all people 55 plus who are frail. They're more stereotypical, right? More frail. Correct. Mobile, not you know, they're not as financially well off, a bunch of things, the rocking chair kind of stereotype. So you've got these people in their 40s, more so women than men, who say, you know what, I want to go down the path where I want to be active. So that means I need to do what I can now so that my future looks better. And it's kind of a reverse of the way that we used to see that.
You know, we're going to take another quick break, and I'd like to talk about Revolution 55 when we come back, because it's really an interesting phenomenon that you've got going, and I think you're proud of it too. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. Again, we're here with Jeff Weiss, and we've been talking about the age of maturity, and now we're going to talk about Revolution 55. And it's interesting, as we took our break, I have so many questions that we won't get to today, but I really want to talk about Revolution 55. This is a really interesting concept that not only have you started, but you're implementing, and I check every day to see if there are more things that I can contribute to. Because we are not a passive group.
No, you are not.
Well, none of us are at this age.
So I've been thinking, thank you, by the way, I've been thinking about this for a while. And, you know, a couple things. One is that we really, in order to get marketers and businesses to take notice, it's one thing for us to go in, you know, present all the data and all this other stuff. But then, as I said before, FOMO kicks in, fear marketing kicks in. And it's really a lot of times tough to get past that. What's really more difficult for marketers and businesses to get past is listening to actual consumers who are either buying or not buying their product or service. So just recently, within the past month, we launched the first ever online community of active aging consumers. And it's going like gangbusters. And it's, you know, there are websites out there, there are blogs out there that provide great content and information to older consumers about how do I live my life better? You know, how do I eat better? How do I manage my finances? How do I travel? All that kind of stuff. That's not what Revolution 55 is about. Revolution 55, we want people 55 plus who are still active to help us in our mission, right? To break the myths and crush the stereotypes. And we've asked them to join our revolution so that we combine together as a group can go to marketers and businesses and say, hey, this is what your consumers
really That's right.
know your brand. And you're either doing a really good job, or in most cases, we know from our research, they aren't. So we're the opportunity. Here's what you have to do to kind of really reach us and work with us. So there's nothing else like it out there. We launched, you know, about 2-3 weeks ago. Response has been great. I'm glad that you joined us. We have all these different types of exercises out there. For me,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but for me, I felt like I had a voice. And I think that was a really strong reason that I began to contribute, because it's wonderful to have a voice. And I believe there are strength in numbers. And so it's been fascinating to listen, because it's really collaborative. I mean, there are surveys and focus groups, and there are open-ended questions, all kinds of activities that you can participate in, again, to share your voice. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the impetuses to starting this, is that, you know, I would tell people, friends and people I met, well, you know, with Age and Majority we're doing, we said, oh, it's about time, because no one's focused on us. No one's listening to us. And this is a group of consumers, like I said before, it's never existed before, right?
Correct.
Nobody really knows who they are and what they're like. And that's why, you know, we started our business. And we know that this group has more time. They have time and they have money to spend, right? So we know there's lots of panels and communities out there, none like ours, but we also know that older people tend to be more engaged in stuff like this because they have a voice, especially if they don't think they're being heard. And they, you know, so part of our goal is to work with them to get the insights, be able to go to marketers and get them to change, to create new brands or services, or change the way of marketing to them. So it creates positive change for older consumers, and it kind of drives the whole wheel, if that makes sense.
Are perfect categories of products that you think marketers or people are missing the boat? In other words, are there groups that you think are missing the fact that this is the group they should be focused on? And I guess I do a lot of interior design. All right. And so I see a lot of product that could be geared for active aging, but really is ubiquitous for all age groups. And yeah. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. So there's really kind of two types of companies or brands we go after. The first are ones who are clearly targeting older consumers. So I'll give you the best example I have. And I think the category that has the most stigma associated with it are hearing aids, right? And the numbers are staggering. Only 20% of people who need hearing aids, and there are millions of them out there, they tend to be older, only 20% of them actually buy a hearing aid. And the ones that buy it, many of them aren't wearing it, and it's all because of, not all, but mainly because of the stigma associated with it. And there, again, this internalization that, you know what, if I have a hearing aid in my ear that someone can see, they're going to tag me as being old, as being senior, they're going to think I'm immobile, blah, blah, blah. And I just can't live with that, right? Same with those
personal
emergency response systems, the lifelines, right? My mother is 89. She's still, touch wood, doing well. She's moved into a community a few months ago.
Yeah.
She actually fell about 3 years ago and fortunately was able to get up, but did some damage. And, you know, I tried to convince her to, you know, wear one of the Lifeline products, and she
Life
cut
alert.
Me off. Life alert.
Yeah, hell no. Right.
She cut me off before I could even get started. You know, and I said, she said, I don't want to use that. Like, I'm not, she didn't use these words, but it's basically, I'm not old enough to wear that, right? And it means
exactly. So, what do you think, I'm old?
Yeah, so, you know, that's an example, whether it's you know, those personal response systems or the hearing aids, where, you know, we can help brands really market to them better. And, you know, and a lot of it's just, you know, hearing aids, it's all about functional. I can hear it from this distance. And that's not what it's about. People want to know that if I wear this thing, help me get over the stigma, so we can do that. But also put it in terms of their lifestyle and how much better their lifestyle is going to be. Like, so think about it. If you've got grandchildren, think about how much greater enjoyment you can get, because now you can hear your grandchildren, you can play with them.
Well, what's interesting is you're talking, I just took my hearing aid and put it back in. I've had them for about 4 years. I absolutely love it. I run with it. It's got Bluetooth. I look as cool, if not cool. My grandkids think it's about the coolest thing ever.
Yes.
I mean, they play video, you know, I hear their video games coming through my hearing aids often when they take my phone. I'm like, yeah.
So part of that is, part of that's in the design of the product, and we'll come back to it. So those are kind of brands and categories that are clearly marketing to older active consumers.
Okay.
They're not doing a very good job, and I'll give you a couple examples. The other are categories that are totally missing the boat. I'll use activewear athletic companies as an example, right? And it's with Nike, and it's like, no, you know, or Peloton. I'll give you an example for Peloton, because we got my wife, who's 63, Peloton for Christmas. And she goes on there, and my son goes on there too. And, you know, I'm not a spinner, so I don't go on there. But all the instructions there are these 25 to 30-year-old men and women who are in incredible shape, right? And then you've got, who's buying these things? I bet, I don't have the numbers, but I bet it skews a lot older, right? Because who has $2,000 plus, right, to spend on
Correct.
It? So, you know, my wife goes on there, you know, and she follows along. And it's like, well, you know, wouldn't you prefer if you have like an older instructor there, you know, in their 50s, 60s, 70s, who's still in great shape, but, you know, so that you could aspire to be like them, because she can't aspire to be like that 25-year-old girl who hasn't Correct. Got an ounce of fat on her, right? That's not what it's about. And my son, he's like, no, you know, I don't want to look at a 25 or 30 or 60, you know, sorry, a 55 or 65-year-old. Right. You don't have to. You can just have a choice, right? But an example Peloton of being able to change and bring on some more, just a wider breadth of instructors without alienating anyone. And then something you and I might have talked about, which I think is big probably in South Carolina, is pickleball, right?
Oh, yes.
It's, I think, the fastest growing sport probably in North America. I think there's over 3 million people playing. Most of them are active agers, over 55. Yet no brands have really, you know, no brands like Nike or New Balance or anyone has really taken that to heart and really seen the opportunity come up. New line of clothing, new shoes, brackets, all that kind of stuff. An example where we want to use Revolution 55 to kind of knock on their doors and say, you're missing a big opportunity. And then we think about design and kind of a lot of stuff you do in interior design. You know, one of the things about design, and again, I'm not a designer, I'm not a product designer, but in most cases, if you design something for someone who might have some challenges as they're older, that's generally going to benefit everyone. And that's, you know, you look at good grips, right? OXO good grips. That's a great example of products that were developed for people who have challenges, but look at how huge they are now, right? Because they work for everyone.
It's called universal design in my world, and it's designed for everyone, for any age, any ability. I think it's a huge missed boat. It is amazing talking to you. And quite frankly, the more you share with us, the more questions I have. And I think you offer a, it's kind of like talking to someone in a think tank, where, again, you don't know what you don't know, but once you open the doors, the floodgates really, you know, come at you. So I appreciate your time today. Before we go, would you like to share with our audience and our viewers, if you would, about where we can find Age of Majority and also Revolution 55, Jeff?
Thank you. It's been great being on with you. I appreciate that. So really easy. Age of Majority is simply ageofmajority.com. It's really meant for more marketers and businesses, but we've got some really cool stuff on there. If you want to see our Dirty Dozen Myths of Aging, you can download some stuff there. And then Revolution.
They have cool products too. I said you have cool products.
Yeah. Yes, we do have some cool products. And then Revolution 55, anyone who is 55 plus or about to turn 55, we would love it if you joined us. And we're at revolution55.com. It's pretty easy to join and register. And once you're on, there's lots of great activities. We have different badges. You get points for activities. And then we have incentives for participating. So I'd love it if your listeners could, if they fit our criteria, would join, because we'd love to hear from them and have them join our revolution and help us on our mission.
Well, once again, thank you for joining us. We want to thank all of you for listening today here on Aging Place Podcast for any stage in life. Have a great week. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines, and thank you for listening to Aging in Place for any stage in life. We would like to ask you all to give us a review. Of course, preferably 5 stars. Thank you again, and we hope you enjoyed Aging in Place for any stage in life.
Don't take a drip. I really can't express this tip enough, and you probably have heard it over and over, but to me, this is probably the most important of all when it comes to aging in place for all the ages. Make sure the floors is clear all the time. Did you hear me? Make sure the floor is clear all the time. I'm not talking about mopping or sweeping. I am talking about the rugs, the magazines, the toys, the dirty laundry, the boxes. My list can go on. Don't get me wrong. I am guilty of this about 3 days a month. I clean out and take things to donate, and I put the boxes in the middle of the floor, and as I go throughout the week, I throw more things in them. But it still gets me get rid of the things quicker. But if I had a few trips myself, how many of you spilled milk on the floor? Grab the paper towels, and since you're in a hurry, you just let the towels do their work while you get the eggs out of the fridge. Then splat! You've already forgotten about the paper towels on the floor, so now there's two messes. Or am I the only one that does that? Anyway, point being, make sure the floor is clear all the time. Walking, pushing a walker, motorized carts, canes, or a baby crawling can be jeopardized by things on the floor. Who knew?
Wow, do I have a takeaway for you on Aging in Place podcast. Jeff Weiss was incredible, and the takeaway is simple. There is a revolution, and it's for people over 55. Thank you all for joining us this week here on Aging in Place podcast. Have a great one.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.